So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for meeting us in worship. As you've reminded us, Lord Jesus, those who worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray that you're pleased with our words of song. We pray that you're pleased with our hearts, and that you see in us a willingness and a desire to honor you with our lips and make this sacrifice of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have today, and we pray that you might help us as we look at your word today, that we might understand your standards and your laws for the way we live and how we treat one another. We pray that you might help us to see this is our responsibility to love you with all of our heart and then to love our neighbor as ourself. We ask that the Holy Spirit would help us today in all that we study and all that we think about. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, again, if you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 20, we're continuing to look these days at the Ten Commandments, or as we call them, the Ten Words. These Ten Words that God spoke to the nation of Israel himself, and then these words were put in stone to remind us of the righteousness, holiness, and goodness of the law of God. The law of God never changes, church, never changes. The law of God is the standard by which we measure all human contact, all human behavior. So I must remind you today, as we're about to read Exodus 20:14, just as we talked about last week when we were talking about not committing murder, this week, adultery. Regardless of the way people choose to live their life, the law of God doesn't change based on the way people decide to live. The law of God remains the same. It is holy, righteous, and just. It is the glorious standard by which we measure all of our lives and all of our conduct. So today we'll be looking at this very important text from the Word of God, and I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's Word, and we'll read these 10 words together. Exodus 20, beginning in verse number 3, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, your son, daughter, male, female servant, cattle, sojourner who stay with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Heavenly Father, we stand before you today. We stand before you to honor Jesus. We ask that you would look at our lives and see. You see us, you know our motivations and our desires. We come now and we present ourselves before you, and the law of God stands and is declared. We pray that you would help us to see our sin. Thank you for sending Jesus, our substitute, who perfectly fulfilled the law of God that we might have a new righteousness by faith in him. We thank you for the glory of salvation as we see the darkness and sinfulness of sin. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship together. Holy Spirit, be our teacher now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. As we come to read these words together, we come to think about a subject which is of great importance to us. Obviously, the focal truth, the commandment, is simple. Very important for us all. For all of our young people who are here, our students, for all of our boys and girls, it's important for them to hear these words now in their life rather than later. We are to abstain from the sexual act of adultery. This is the law of God. We are to abstain from the sexual act of adultery. So there are a number of things that we want to say today, and I want to speak to you as your pastor, and I want to do it in such a way that I'm seeking to appeal to you and to warn you. Oh, the sadness and the pain, the regret of committing adultery. Oh, the devastating wreck it makes of homes, the impact it has on children and grandchildren. Though God can forgive, the consequences of the act of adultery linger on. So today I want to talk to you about the importance of not going to the house of adultery. Don't go to the house of adultery. These words are for all of us. You're not too old to hear these words. You shall not commit adultery. It's for every man who's married here today. Doesn't matter your age. It's for every woman who's here today married. Doesn't matter your age. It's for every single man who's here today. Doesn't matter your age, or single woman. All of our students, it doesn't matter. You shall not. Doesn't matter what you see on TV. Doesn't matter what you read in some romance book. Doesn't matter what the movies say. You shall not commit adultery. We are to abstain from the act, the sexual act of adultery. My son and I attended once upon a time a ball game, and we were sitting in a place down by the visiting area, the visiting team, and the former coach, who I would say this, who knew better and should have been acting his age, he was a senior adult man. He was the former coach, and he was down there, and we couldn't help. It was our seats. We were there, and so you get to hear whatever you hear when you're around all these people. And he was talking about how he loved living in this particular city when he was a coach, and talked about all of his former girlfriends. This is a senior adult man. All these girlfriends he had. Now, you know, his wife's not there. He has a wedding ring on while he's talking about all this. All these girlfriends, and oh, how glad he is. And boy, all of them are going to come by and see me while I'm at the ball game. You know, men sometimes don't have a lot of sense. They just talk way too loud. I didn't even care about hearing all this, but I got to hear it. Probably good I heard it, because now I can tell you about it. Oh, yeah, I'm really glad to be here. And such and such fellow said, well, you know, where's your wife? Well, you know, she didn't come tonight. And boy, ha, ha, ha. I'm sure glad she didn't, because now I'll get to meet up with all my girlfriends. And sure enough, all through the game, here comes these women who I also want to say know better. They knew better. Here they come traipsing down there, kissing this man on the mouth, hugging him, talking about where they're going to meet. I'm not asking for any of this information, but I got to hear it. For you to think that this issue today is only for the young who are here, you're fooling yourself. You shall not commit adultery. This man had plans for it and was there and was carrying it out, and these women were happily participating, knowing all the time he had a wife and knowing that these women had husbands. You shall not commit adultery. Don't go to the house of adultery. For you to understand the importance of this in the Word of God, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Proverbs, and in just a moment we'll go there. Find the book of Proverbs, and you'll find your place there, and we'll just have you turn for now to chapter 2 of Proverbs. And while you're turning to Proverbs, I'm going to make one observation, because when the Word of God says, do not commit adultery, adultery is the sexual act between a married person and someone who is not their husband or wife. So we must remind ourselves of the essentials of marriage, and this is important for me to do. We don't do it often enough. And I'll just tell you, as I preach this today, I feel like I'm preaching into a strong cultural wind blowing all over me. I'm going to say things today that are going to make you think, what in the world? Is that really true? Yes, it's the Word of God. Against all the culture, against all the pressure, against all the opinions, you see, the world seeks to redefine sexual sin. And now generations have lived with this loose understanding that human just having sex with people is just a normal part of love. It's not, it's a lie. It's a lie. So today, the blowing of the winds of culture are coming on me. I've felt them all day long. But I have no apology for what I will say to you from the Word of God. You need to hear it, and your children need to hear it, and your students need to hear it. Oh, the sadness of going to the house of adultery. Well, the Word of God tells us that in the beginning, God designed marriage in this way. Genesis chapter 2, it's there on the screen for you. Genesis 2, God makes the woman from the man. Verse 22 of Genesis, the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib from which he had taken from the man. This is the order. Men and women made male and female. You were either born a male or a female. You were born a male or a female. There may be confusion for you. You may struggle. You are born a male or a female. You must learn the glory of being a male made in the image of God. You must learn the glory of being a female made in the image of God. The man said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, God made a man and a woman. He fashioned them together, joining them together. Now, for this reason, a man leaves his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God's purpose in marriage is for, now this I'm blowing, this is the culture blowing against me. God's design for marriage is for one man and one woman to be married to each other for life. Not one at a time through life. One time, one commitment, one act of faithful love, one commitment, one pledge of yourself to another for life. That is the will of God. It is the plan of God. It is the purpose of God for marriage to be a lifelong relationship between one man and one woman. It is the commitment of God in marriage that one man and one woman be joined in a lifetime of love for one another and faithfulness to each other. It is the will of God that a man and a woman, one man, one woman, be joined for life, making commitments and promises of faithfulness to God and to each other. Sometimes people say to me, well, what about all these people that live together? Well, they're afraid to make a commitment. They're more interested and more cautious about buying a car than they are living together, and they don't understand the nature of it. You see, the most important thing in your marriage is your promise. It's your word. It's your word. It's standing before people and saying, I promise, and I will do what I promise to do. I will do what I'm supposed to do. One man, one woman, joined for life. Now, this is really blowing against the culture. This will sound strange to some of our young people. They need to hear this. One man, one woman, joined together for life. And sex is designed only for a man and a woman who are married to each other. That's it. All other sex is out of the bounds. All of our boys and girls who, bless them, have been caught in a culture that says it's okay, it's not okay. It's sin. A man and a woman in a covenant commitment relationship with each other and with God unite together after saying, I do. After. They don't have sex before they're married. And as a result of that, they come together and they're gloriously connected together. The two become one. The reason why adultery is so sad, and we could spend the whole time on this, and I must go on, is because we misunderstand the nature and design of sexuality. When you are joined to another, a part of you stays with that person for the rest of your life. And now we find generations who have been so careless about sexual relations, they bring all of that to their relationship with their husband or wife, and they have to work through that. It is God's design. You shall not commit adultery, because adultery is the highest act of treason and thievery toward your husband or your wife. Don't go to the house of adultery. Now, why would I keep saying this phrase, go to the house of adultery? Well, I'm glad you asked that. My second observation is found in Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 8. I want to talk to you, first of all, about the path to the house of adultery. What I love about the Word of God is we have in Proverbs 2, Proverbs 3, Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7, Proverbs 9, Proverbs 6, repeated teaching about the danger of adultery. May we all hear the Word of God today. May we all hear the Word of God. You see, this act of adultery is punishable by death under the Old Testament. Leviticus 20:10 says, if there's a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, or who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. God put a serious warning upon committing adultery. But the path to the house of adultery, we read in Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 8, keep your way far from her. Now, let me say this so that no one misunderstands. In the book of Proverbs uses the female character to describe the wisdom of God, but also adultery. This is the design of it. Doesn't just mean that women are the only people who commit adultery. It's men and women. But it's the picture that we have here. So when he says her, he's talking about the act of adultery. Proverbs 5:8, keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. So I'd like for you this morning to look with me at a foolish young man who went to the house of adultery. He went to the path of adultery. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, we read these words. You see, the first words of Proverbs chapter 7 remind us to keep the commandments of God. Tie them around your neck. Pay attention to them. They'll protect you. Obey the commands of God. And then we break into verse 5, that they, the word of God, may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her, that is the adulteress's corner. And he takes the way to her house. Don't go to the house of adultery. Don't go to the house of adultery. Don't take the path to the house of adultery. In the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, in the darkness, and behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the square, lurks every corner. So she seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face she says to him, "I was due to offer peace offerings today, and I paid my vows. Therefore, I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings with colored linens of Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and at the full moon he will come home." With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. So he does not know, that it will cost him his life. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her, to adultery. Do not stray into her paths, adultery's paths. For many are the victims. Oh, hear the word of God. Many, many, oh, generation after generation after generation, these words stand. Many are the victims she, adultery, has cast down. And numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way of death, descending to the chambers of death. Don't go to the house of adultery. This young man, first of all, went secretly seeking adultery. That's what happens with adultery. It's a secret thing. It starts with some subtle things. It starts with a look. He was seduced, as we read here, by the way this woman was dressed. Her dress allured him. He was seduced by the way she was dressed. He saw these things. Jesus said to us, the Lord Jesus said to us all, that adultery begins with a look, not with the act. He said, "But I say to you, everyone who looks on a woman with lust for her or lust for a man has already committed adultery in their heart." So we learn here that adultery begins with a look toward the stranger. You see, anybody that's not your wife or your husband is a stranger to you. You don't know all about them. You don't know all of their background. You don't know, no matter how close a friend they may be. Oh, this happens. Do not go to the house of adultery, you who are friends with one another. Do not go to the house of adultery, you who go to Sunday school class together. Those of you who go to worship together. Do not go to the house. Do not go to the house of adultery, you in your family with your relations. Why do I say that? Because sadly in my ministry life, I have sat with dear people broken by adultery from all of those relationships. Don't fool yourself by thinking you are above the law of God or that you cannot be drawn to these things. It starts with the looks, and then it comes to flattery. Now it comes not just with words of a mouth. Oh, now it comes on a text message, one right after another. Way too many text messages between people who ought not to be texting each other. It comes in emails. It comes in chat rooms. And it comes in private places on the internet, Facebook, and all these other places, wherever you want to go. Now we have this problem because it's electronic. Now we read these things and we understand them and we see things. We read things. I hope you're not one of the foolish ones who believes that everything on the internet is the truth. You see, the path to the house of adultery starts with our looks at these strangers, our subtle attraction to them, and then we listen to their words, and then the act occurs. What happens when you go and live in the house of adultery? This is my third observation. That's the path. But what about living there? Well, I wanted to get, there's a lot here in detail, but I didn't want to miss this opportunity to teach you on this subject because it is so very important. I'm not much of a preacher. I'm not much of a pastor if I don't do my job to warn you not to go to the house of adultery. Some of you are way too close to certain people who are not your husband or your wife. And the boundary and the barrier and the law of God says, do not commit adultery. Don't start down the path. Don't even go close. Don't go down the path. And for sure, don't get to the door. Don't get to the door. You see, when you live in the house of adultery and you commit the act of adultery, it is a place of death. We read here in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9, none who go down to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. For her house, verse 18, sinks down to earth, and her tracks lead to the dead. You know, people, when they're committing adultery, they don't pray. They don't seek God. They don't worship God. They don't seek to glorify God. They're caught up in a relationship and they're consuming their time living in a sexual relationship, emotional sexual relationship that is dishonoring God, is a violation of their own promise to their husband or their wife, and destroys themselves and leads to spiritual death and death in all their relationships. In fact, we read this numerous times. We read it in chapter 2, verse number 18. We read it in, as we read in chapter 7, verse 27. We read it also in over in chapter 9, verse number 18. But he does not know, when you go to the house of the adulterer, he does not know that the dead are there. You know who's in the house of adultery? Others who are dead. Just like you. When you go to the house of adultery and you open the door and you commit the sin, there's no return. You can't come back. You can't take it back. You have now joined yourself sexually to another person. You have now violated the will and purposes of God. It doesn't matter how much you make an excuse about why you did it. You've done it and there's no return. I read to you the word of God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 19. None who go to her return again. Everything after adultery changes. Oh yes, we rush to tell people, oh Pastor Mike, but there's the grace of God. Yes, yes, praise God. For all of our sin is covered by the blood of Jesus, and we must confess our sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But before you do it, I don't want you to miss the severity and the horrible condition of being an adulterer. There's no door handle on the inside of the house of adultery. You can't go back out. Now, you have crossed the line. God said you shall not commit adultery. And you have chosen to do it. There is no return. There is loss, deep and great loss. Proverbs chapter 5 says, you give your strength to others. You groan in your final end as it dawns on you what you have done. As it dawns on you what you have done. You have committed sexual adultery with someone beyond your husband or your wife. You have committed sexual sin with somebody else's husband or wife. There's great loss. There's great regret. Proverbs 5:11, how I hated instruction. That's the regret. I wish I could do this. As a man sat with me weeping, having lost all of his life and his people and his wife and all the rest, he said, I wish I could go back. You can't go back. It's a life of regret. and pain, deep pain. Proverbs 6:33, wounds and disgrace you find when you commit adultery. Oh, I feel the wind of the culture blowing on me, but I don't care. You see, when you live in the house of adultery, even if you spurn and hate God, these are the consequences that every adulterer experiences. A house of death and no return and regret and loss and pain and punishment. And I must read to you the complete word of God on this. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 29. The question is asked in verse 27. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? It's a rhetorical question. The point is, you can't put fire on your clothes and it not burn you. You cannot go and commit sexual sin with someone and it not burn you. Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Verse 29 of chapter 6. So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches him, will not go unpunished. Don't go to the house of adultery. Don't go to the path. Avoid it. Let the word of God stand. May these words echo in your mind and in your heart. Don't go to the house of adultery. Don't go there. This is my final observation. Don't go there. How do we avoid it? How do we avoid this? Well, you see, the world is very hard to live in. Your work relationships make this very hard for some of you. Your job requires you to work with men and women. And in working in these relationships with men and women, you have challenges of how you set the boundaries. Your work is telling you to quit making distinctions between men and women. But by the way, the reason why, now you went to church to get this, the reason why they're called men and women is because they're different. Thank you. One person got it. They're different. And those of you who manage people, those of you who are bosses in here, you ought to pay attention to what you're asking your male and female people to do together. Love romance, work romance. Boy, you see them at work, and boy, they've got it all together, don't they? They look so pretty and they look so smart and strong, and you're thinking about that one you're living at the house with. Boy, you're making this comparison. Look how great they look. Man, they got everything together. Do they? You're looking at the stranger. You're seduced by the stranger. You don't know all the story there. This is at work. As I said before, on the internet, you don't know who you're looking at. You don't know what you're seeing. You don't know what kind of promises are really there. You don't know what's the truth and not the truth. You live in this false, false virtual world, this trap, this trick. The best thing that could be done is for the majority of us to just get a flip phone and be done with it and use your computer as a doorstop. And I'm serious. This is the destruction of many lives, as the man said to me one day. I don't know why he came to tell me. Well, Pastor, you know, my wife, and he called her name. I knew her very well. Knew him very well. It was a sad meeting. Well, Pastor, you know, said her name. She's just not going to cut it. I kind of thought, well, were we having a ball? Is this like ball? Is this like a ball team? What, she didn't make the cut? No, I found me another wife. Oh, you found you another wife? Really? Well, where'd you find your wife? Oh, I found her online. You found your wife online? Are you serious? And then it wasn't but a year or so later, he saw me again and said, well, you know, that didn't work out too well. No kidding. You know, everything she said about herself was a lie. No kidding! And you were a liar too. Avoid it. If you're tempted and drawn to somebody in a work relationship, in-laws or someone else in your family, friends that you gather with, this is important for our couples here, all of them, somebody in Sunday school, somebody in church, oh, this stuff happens at the church house. I'm talking about this happens at the church house. That's why I'm laboring on this. The law of God says, don't commit adultery. Don't go to the house of adultery. But the good news is, for all of us who are married, you can put something in between you and adultery. You know what it is? Proverbs, let me just read it. It's right here. I put it here for you. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. By the way, before that, in verse 15, Solomon talks about something that gives you life. You know what? Water gives you life. Now, most of you don't have a cistern. Do you know what a cistern is? Do you even know what a cistern is? All right. It captures rainwater in places where they don't have the adequate water supplies. It's a source of drinking water. Drink from your own cistern, verse 15. Fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad? Streams of water into the street? No. Between you and your wife, between you and your husband, you are to give life to each other like water. Let them be yours alone and not for a stranger. You don't share your relationship with any other person. You don't share your emotional and physical sexual relationships with anybody else. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. And somebody says, well, my wife's really gotten old. Well, so have you. I asked the last hour to do it, and we're out of time. I won't have you do it, but I'll just simply say, you ought to do this when you go home. Marriage enrichment for this afternoon. Go home and do something with your husband or wife you haven't done in a while. Just go sit somewhere and just look at each other. Why, some of you women are going to look at your husband and say, I didn't even know he grew a beard. Some of you men are going to look at your wife and say, I had no idea she changed her hair. Look at them. There was something in that dear person that drew you to only them and made you love them. You know what stops adultery dead in its tracks? The next part of this is my favorite part. I've been waiting all day to tell you this. Verse 19. Not only rejoice with the wife of your youth or husband of your youth, as a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you all the time. That's right. Your sexual relationship is between you and your husband or wife only, exclusively. Live it up. It's the way God designed it. And one more thing. Now I'm going to read the Hebrew here, literally. Be drunk always with her love. We need some drunk love couples. I mean, drunk in love. Have you ever met somebody that was drunk? It's the most pathetic thing. This Hebrew word used here for exhilarated or intoxicated, it's the word tereal. This is what the word, it's the Hebrew word tereal. It's the word used to describe a drunk. Reeling, unstable, just they're under the influence. Oh, you know what will keep you from adultery? Being under the love influence of your husband or wife. Look at them. That's the one you committed to. That's the one you said yes to. That's the one you made your promises to. The Word of God says, love your wife, love your husband, love them. And abstain from sexual immorality. I won't read it to you. I'll just quote it. Hebrews chapter 13:4 says, Let the wedding bed be undefiled. Maybe we ought to get, you know, we have plaques in our house. As for me and my house, we ought to serve the Lord. Put that one over your bed. Let the wedding bed be undefiled. The only place sex takes place is between a husband and a wife. And you students, you're never going to find love by going out and having sex with somebody before you're married. It isn't going to happen. It's just going to bring you a lot of confusion and misery. And Paul said to us all, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, abstain. Stop it, is what the word means. Stop having sexual immorality. So the law of God is clear. Pastor Mike, I feel a certain way. Yes, that's what the law does. That's the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to point to me and say, Mike, that is adultery. That's what it is. The law of God names sin so that I might understand it as Paul taught us in Romans chapter 7. So that when I see and hear I would not have known coveting, Paul said, unless the law of God had said, don't covet. I would not have known adultery had the law of God not said, don't commit adultery. In the wisdom and purposes of God, God has said to us all, because of the glory of marriage, because of God's design for marriage, do not commit adultery. Do not go to the house of adultery. So daily use. So what I always end by saying is, remember this, I'm not offending you when I say this. I'm simply preaching the word of God. Proverbs 6:32. If you commit adultery, you're lacking sense. And you are destroying yourself. And I don't know who's here. I don't know the relationships that are going on. But some of you may be close to opening the door to the house of adultery. If I could get on my knees and beg you, if I could physically stand in front of you to stop you, I'd do it. God sees what you do. It's interesting to me that we're reminded of God's seeing our sight when we're reading these words from the word of God about adultery. The Bible says, for the ways of a man, Proverbs 5:21, the ways of a man or woman are before the eyes of the Lord. Did you know God's seeing everything you're doing? Every place you're going, everything you're saying, every thought you're thinking, and every act you're committing. The ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. Surely this would be enough to stop you too, my friend. If you commit adultery with another, you're destroying and you are stealing the most cherished thing that other person has. Why would you do such a thing to destroy someone else? Why would you do such a thing that brings hatred upon you, jealousy that cannot be stopped? And sadly, what has happened so much in our world, divorce after divorce after divorce. Don't go to the house of adultery. But we end with the grace of God. Confess your sins. This isn't the unpardonable sin, as horrible as it is. I've sought to paint for you today the sinfulness of the sin of adultery. As a warning. But whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We bring our sins to him. We repent of our sins. The Lord hears us. He sees the genuineness that's in us. He sees our godly sorrow. He sees our faith in Jesus Christ and our desire to be right with God. But I must tell you, it was the last phrase I had there for you on daily use. Though we are forgiven of our sins, there are lasting consequences that you will never get over. Don't go to the house of adultery. There's no way back. You'll live to regret it the rest of your life. You will affect your children and grandchildren in ways that you cannot comprehend. And you will affect the one that you said yes to and pledged your life to for the rest of his or her life. Don't go to the house of adultery.